continue to celebrate you. As we continue to celebrate you this morning, Lord. Lord, we want to share at your table this morning. Lord, we're preparing our hearts in a state of exaltation to you and for you. That as we receive you and as we encounter you this morning, that our hearts will be tendered ever so deeply towards you. Because you are the King. You are the King of glory. Yeah. Amy and Dylan. Yes, Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning that you awaken our spirits, Lord. Let the sleeper arise. Let the sleeper arise. Let the sleeper arise, that there would be a new awakening this morning, Lord. Hey, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing in communion this morning.
When Dyla and I were just praying into really what to share with communion, there was a couple words we heard. And along that line, I just really kept picturing the cross and his love for us and really truly what he did for us and what he paid for us. And I actually had a dream recently, and I just felt to kind of share some of it, because it really, this dream actually put the importance of what Jesus really paid for and what he truly did for me, and just really how that brings that freedom, true freedom, to me because of what he's done on the cross. I mean, along that line, I had this dream where it actually was this person actually taking themselves and nailing themselves to a cross. And then I heard Jesus' voice behind it saying, "Why are you doing that when I paid it already?" And along those lines, God spoke to my heart just really how sometimes we have guilt and shame for things that we've done in our past, and things maybe feeling like we're not good enough, or some insecurity. And I just really felt the heart of the Lord and Jesus, just really his heart of grace, which Diane's going to share a little bit about grace. But just really his heart of grace and just really understanding. I really feel that God's saying, truly understand what I did and what I paid for you on the cross, and how that brings that grace, that brings that freedom, where we don't have to feel any guilt, but where we come to him and say, "Jesus, forgive me for what I've done. I repent for what I've done." And out of that, he brings that cleansing. And just really spoke to my heart through that. And I felt also to read a passage. Actually, I felt to read John 17, 22 through 26. And it says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them." And just what came to me is just what Jesus being the Son of God and really the Father in that oneness, and how we, because of what Jesus paid for, get to come in that and really join in that unity of being one with the Father. And just that, how amazing that is, that his love for us just allows us to really be one with him. And that's his desire, and that's what he has for each one of us. And I'll let Dylan share the rest.
As we've been praying about doing communion today, the word that I keep hearing, the word that I keep seeing is grace. And just as I've been praying through that, the Lord's just been reminding me of what grace really means. And it means undeserved favor, undeserved blessing. You know, when we look at Christ and we look at what he's done for us, we come with the foundation, with the assumption, with the understanding that there's absolutely nothing we can do to earn his love. You know, and he took that into account. When it comes to forgiving us of our sins, when it comes to healing us of sickness, when it comes to delivering us from strongholds in our lives, we come to him completely broken. We come to him completely messed up. And he turns that all around. He changes that all around. And it's really hard to receive from the Lord if we don't come from that place of humility, where we think that we can do it, where we think that we deserve it, where we earn it, or where we have to work for it. I mean, if you've ever tried to work for something from the Lord, you know that doesn't work. You know, and so he's given us this incredible grace that takes into account the fact that we've totally messed this thing up. And it's such a blessing from him. It really demonstrates his heart of love that in Romans 8, truly nothing can separate me from the love of God. So you messed up in this area, or you've got this thing going on or that thing going on, we humble ourselves and we just throw ourselves at his mercy and at his grace and we just receive. And so as you take communion this morning, you understand in Scripture that this refers to the body and the blood of Jesus. That he did it all, he paid it all, he accomplished it all. When he said on the cross, "It is finished," he wasn't saying maybe down the road it's going to be finished. He said, "It is finished right now. It's done. It's complete. Your salvation is complete. Your healing is complete. Your deliverance is complete. Your freedom is complete. Your joy is complete." I mean, isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing that he did that for you and me? Do we take that for granted sometimes? Do we get into this Christian thing, this church thing, and we just kind of sing the songs and we do the sermons and we minister to people or we get ministered to and we forget the reality that he paid everything. He did everything. 100%. So when you look at someone who's in deep bondage and you're saying, "God, I don't know what to do," and you just let the love and the favor of Jesus flow through you, it sets them free. And it's amazing. So as you take communion this morning, just remember that his body was broken for you. Broken. But yet he said it's for the joy that was set before him that he endured that cross. It was incredible joy. It wasn't because the suffering looked joyful. It was because he saw your face. When he allowed himself, when he laid his life down, he saw you. And so as you take this, just remember, his body was broken for you. He was pierced for you. His blood was shed for you and for me. What an incredible blessing from the Lord. If that's not undeserved favor, I don't know what is. And so we're just going to have the elements right up here. Oh, okay, Amy, let's share more.
I just wanted to share also, just along the side of the blood and what Jesus paid for, just as we search our hearts, just really realizing, you know, the healing that comes through taking communion, not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and, you know, just realizing that, that God wants to search our hearts and see where our hearts are at, and just really knowing that his blood, it says that by his stripes we are healed. And so the people, even overseas, that as we are taking communion, just received healing in their bodies. And so if there's something in your physical, something, you know, going on in your hearts right now, that even as you take communion, just allow your hearts to receive what God wants to do in you, physically, emotionally, that God can do it and just receive what he has for you.
So we're just going to have the elements right here. When you feel in your heart to come up, just to take those. And then right along the steps here, if you want to take just a few minutes after you take communion, just to get down before the Lord and just to bless him and to thank him, you know, but just in your heart right now, just Father, we just right now just lay our hearts before you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to give us the revelations that we've missed. Or to complete the revelations we've only seen in part. Lord, your body and your blood broken and shed for us. And you said to your disciples, "Do this. Every time you do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of what I've done for you. Do this in remembrance of the fact that I will say it is finished." And Lord, that in the Old Testament, he was celebrating their story in Passover. So they were celebrating the blood on the doorpost to protect them from the angel of death. But Lord, your word says that the covenant, Jesus says that the covenant we have is even a better covenant. They had an incredible covenant. But the covenant we have is better because it's sealed by the blood of your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, we just invite you right now to speak to our hearts, to put your finger on things, Lord, to bring freedom, healing, salvation, deliverance in this place, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just come forward when you're ready, and you can take them up here, or you can take them back to your seat.
Holiday, Lord. May you be our Sabbath rest. Thank you, Father. Speak to us today. Speak to us today, Lord. Of course you will. We commit to listen to your voice today, Lord. We commit to quiet our own thoughts and let your thoughts be our thoughts. Your ways, our ways. We quiet our minds to let our spirits rise. We let you be the answer to all our questions. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that we can find you in the quiet moment. We can find our refuge under the shadow of your wings. We believe, Lord, you're behind us, you're in front of us, you're at our side, you're inside of us. Your love and mercy surround us. What better place could we be in? Quiet the turmoil in our heart, Lord, if there is any. Bring the joy of just hanging with you. For in your presence is fullness of joy, in your right hand there are pleasures forever, Lord. And you're not just here when we worship and when there's music. You're in the crazy traffic of Black Friday. You're right there with us. You're in the craziness of this holiday season, Lord. You're right there. You're with us. You're with us. Where the battle is yours. The battle is yours. The secret to life is the battle is yours. Thank you, Lord. for battling on our behalf, for winning victories on our behalf, for turning impossible situations around on our behalf, for turning things upside down on their ear for our behalf, for bringing the future into the present because of us, because you love us. You really love us. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. If some of you have been here before, there were a few people here wondering if that prayer might go on for a while. Who was here that morning? I know you were peeking. They got to see when that prayer was going to end, and so was I. I was a little surprised. Absolutely.
Okay, just a very quick announcement, and then we're releasing the children. How many of us know that Christ in Christmas is not just something you read in a newspaper? We really believe it in this place. And we just want to praise the Lord for an amazing, beautiful communion time. Thank you, Amy and Dylan. That was really wonderful, and thank you, Lord. But two quick announcements, and I'm sure there'll be more announcements at the end. So before you leave, if you want to hear this, Pastor Jose from Mozambique will be here on Tuesday night, Fire and Wind. He's flying tomorrow. This is just an amazing, amazing blessing for us and others. So,
sorry.
He sneezed. Sorry. That was. Sorry. And also, there are two things we want to mention to you. As part of this Christmas season, we're just so excited about it. We're making a change, and we haven't done this before. How many of us like something new? We always have Christmas Eve. Oh, wait.
How many of us like something new?
In an attempt to draw our families together, because we love family, we are not having Christmas Eve service. We're having frontline family Christmas the night before. We're going to try something new and enjoy. That's December 23rd, so it's our Christmas service, December 23rd, not December 24th. And that frees many of you up to be able to, you know, go here and there, and you always feel what you feel, which I understand. I can understand it. So we're going to see what maybe that will be something as a blessing, that more people can come and we can celebrate Christmas together. So mark your calendars, December 23rd. How many of you like that idea? Something new and helpful. We're trusting because we love you all so much. So bless you, and we look forward to seeing you Tuesday night as well for Fire and Wind. Spread the word. Pastor Jose from Iris Ministries, Mozambique. Children, go to Kingdom Land.
Go.
Oh,
this time go.
And December 18th. Can you just say this after me? December 18th. How many parents are in here? Parents. Okay, December 18th. We have something very special for the children. Your children will be leading some things in the ministry here because we are so all about kids. So December 18th. Please see Ashley if you've not connected with her already. And there may be some other things as well, because we love to highlight what the Lord's doing in the children. Amen? So December 18th, special, special for children.
I might stick around. There's some fun things going on around here. It's pretty good indeed. So 2 weeks ago, it's true, Dreaming with God and Pulling the Future into Now, Part 2, we're getting better. I mean, it's just like they're titled now. It's not this search. I think it was something about. That's good, I guess. I hope it's good. Well, I think Tuesday night or last Sunday, maybe it was last Sunday, said that today we would have a little bit of time of encouragement. I hope it's always encouraging here. But along the lines of the fact that we are a small army. Still, this is going into our seventh year, and we're still a very small army. We've had lots of prophetic words about that changing, and we have no problem with that. If people started flooding in here, I think the Lord's timing would be proper whenever that happens, and we would watch what He does. But so far, in these 6 years, at least since we started meeting in this building, we have stayed a rather small group. Now, for some, that tends to send them out the door, believe it or not, small groups, because it's a little bit threatening. You actually might get asked questions about your life. It might kind of be in your face, up close and personal. And there have been people that have shown up here and couldn't make it through the first service. And they went out the door. And then they came back, and they almost made it to the end. And then left. And maybe if they came three times, they made it to the end, and they started basically this along this line of speaking. Boy, there's a lot of love there. You see, the Lord is very intentional about what He's doing. Because if you can have someone that's totally freaked out, and they come back because of the love, not because they're comfortable, but because of the love, and they maintain some relationship of some type, you know, we don't exactly check them off the attendance chart. So people are living their lives, and some are coming in more often than others, and so on. You know, I don't worry about that. I worry about who's here after 5 years, who's still around in covenant after 10 years. Who has gone through all the battling to be here after 15 years? And you say, well, who would that be? There actually are a bunch of people out of our small bunch. There's a little bit smaller bunch that have been here for that amount of time. Now, some of you haven't been here that amount of time, but you intend to be here, unless the Lord totally changes up things, as long as it's the Lord changing it up, and not just your preferences. Hopefully, no one is left because of the orange carpet and the orange pews. I think, you know, just coming in here for the first time, if you're a carpet person, it wouldn't be the carpet you'd be worried about. It'd be some other things. So, that's not what sends people away. It's the closeness. Jesus had the same problem. The closeness would often send people away. He would love on people, and they would turn around and try to kill Him. You know, there are some over the years of Frontline that have been loved and loved and loved and loved. And that's what we like to do. We don't like to religion people to death. We like to love them to death so they can have real life, so they can be resurrected to real life. That's our desire. That's our hope. That's our heart. That's why we risk saying things like, you know, we'd like to be your mom and dad in the spirit. You know, that's risky. That turns a lot of people right around, and they want to go out the door. Because then you have to trust. So you'd have to trust me. Gosh. You'd have to trust that I'm for your best. That not somewhere back in here I'm trying to get something from you. Or I'm trying to manipulate you or move you around like a little puppet for my own good intentions or bad intentions. So that's risky. See, closeness is difficult, especially with people that have issues. And if you've known anything over the years, all of us have them. All of us. So you're bearing with my issues at times. You're loving me beyond any issues I would have. The worship team, when I jump up on the platform, sometimes at the last second, and I'm going through my library of... I'm sure there are thoughts that come through people's minds. Why isn't he more organized? How come he didn't do that before he got here? Oh boy, this is going to be something. How are we going to follow this? You know, whatever. I know there's thoughts. I can't think of a person in here that hasn't had a thought somewhere in their history with Frontline. I want to leave. I just have to go. I don't know what it is inside of me. I have to go. I have to really get out of here. I have to get away from these people. So if you think I don't know that, I know that. We recently had a meeting where I went around the neighborhood with some Frontline people, and we passed out flyers. We were giving away $60 in groceries to three people. All you have to do is show up at the meeting, listen to me for a very short time. Put your slip in the drawing with your information on it, not because we want to track you down, but because we want to make sure you get your gift. It would be drawn, and you would receive a $60 shopping spree. We handed out approximately 150 to 200 flyers to people that came through for groceries. They came to the place to get groceries. And this was put in every bag. And then we went out into the neighborhood and spread out the rest of them that we had in the neighborhood. How many people do you think were in that drawing? Christy or... Cynthia? The drawing last Friday. Maybe 10? A little bit more? A little less? About 10? About 10 people. It said a lot to me. I don't know if it says much to you. There's treasure to be had, and the group going after it is sometimes very small. I have nothing against the people that didn't come for the drawing. Don't get me wrong. It just says something about human nature. It would take trust to come and be part of the drawing. And even though the people that did receive the $60 shopping spree were thrilled, and they went out with some of our frontline people to do that shopping spree, they had to trust them. They were thrilled, but the number of people willing was so small. Maybe 1/20th of all the flyers that were passed out. Well, 3/20ths. I guess there were three of them. Whatever. Somehow I got lost in the numbers. I used to be a numbers guy, but not anymore. Okay, so, and here I am talking about small and number. Okay, never mind. We'll get there. It was a very small group that took advantage of a very nice gift with no strings attached. They didn't have to come to, well, I guess it was strings attached. They had to come and actually be part of the drawing at a certain time. But the trust factor, you see, all of you are part of a drawing, so to speak. You've come to receive something from the Lord. And you're trusting that I have something for you today, that the worship team has something for you today, that the atmosphere or the presence of God has something for you today. You've trusted that that's the case. But there still might only be a few of you that actually allow your slip to be drawn out and actually receive everything that he has for you today. Just because you're here doesn't necessarily mean that you received a shopping spree. Am I okay? Just wondering. Sometimes those things go off. That's always the case. It doesn't matter what week it is or what meeting it is or whether you're at home or in your car. We can take advantage of as much of the Lord as we want to. But see, the good news is many of you have over the years. And so you are part of a small army. In fact, a number of years ago, there were some people that were giving us the indication that we were the Navy SEALs of the body of Christ. Frontline. Now, how did that happen? Many pastors that we talk to, they're talking about all the struggles and difficulties. And if you say, you know, have you taken any groups overseas? Have you been overseas yourself? Oh, we couldn't do that. Do you see a difference here? And believe me, I'm boasting in the Lord. You need to be encouraged. There's a difference here. We have so much more that we're excited about, we're encouraged about, we're thanking God for in this season of thanking Him, especially thanking Him. Because many of you are still part of this strategic elite team. Now, does that mean no one else can join if it's an elite team? No, even the Navy SEALs, you can join them. If you can meet the requirements, you can be part of them. They have several stages, by the way, and they weed out most of them in the first stage. So most of you have already made it through. There was some weeding out. It's true. There's also some casualties. Some of us have hurting hearts from some over the years that have been casualties. Either they themselves or the enemy has taken them out from where they were supposed to be plugged in. It's a grieving thing. But the thing is, every good team has that. It's sobering, but it's true. Israel did not go through all the battles with Joshua and not lose a man. Some battles they didn't. Some battles they did. But they didn't quit. They didn't stop. And you've not. Many of you have made it through the first phase of the requirements, and that is to hang around for some training, further training. That takes trust. I'm well aware of that. So, back at my house, when I'm thinking of all of you, my first thought is, wow. And then I think, you know, how can I help this one, help that one? To be better warrior for the Lord, whatever. But my first thought is, wow. Look at the nations that we've taken together. Look at the neighborhoods that we've affected together. Look at the places that we go and we can bring love in. It's amazing. I think we should celebrate. And there are some, you know, that start out and they're not sure and they don't jump in right away. Who of us haven't felt that way? I didn't jump in right away. But all of you helped me. Because of that, as I've said many times, it's a two-way street. You help me. I help you. It's true. It's not just a nice thing to say. See, we're close enough so that iron can sharpen iron. You have to be close enough for iron to sharpen iron. Why do you think major mega churches go to small groups? Because they can't sharpen from the front. Whoever the speaker is, he just can't do it. So they have small groups. Now, what if we were to empower those small group leaders? Let's say we had a mega church and we actually empowered them to sharpen. They weren't just kind of, you know, meeting around cookies, coffee, and pizza and having a Bible study, but, you know, don't go too deep here because they might like you more than me. And I'm the guy that speaks on Sunday. But they actually empowered those small group leaders to train elite forces. That'd be great. It doesn't often happen. It happens more often in other countries, it seems. And the church just goes crazy. I mean, it just takes over entire cities when the small group leaders are empowered to have teams within the major army, elite forces within the major army. So I think that's what's missing in many of our Western churches, is we don't allow people to be empowered, but see here, that often happens. Amy and Dylan led us in a communion service this morning. Neither one of the, you get my point. You know, we have no problem with letting others step up and speak, say something to the rest of the body. Again, that can send people away. I want to hear only from the two pastors and maybe only the male pastor. But see, some of you have made it through some of that stuff. Things have been renewed in your mind. And you've made it through those first steps of, they have two pastors, male and female, and they say they work together and they're equal. It's not like, you know, when they say there's two pastors in another church and really the male is in charge. And the female does the women's groups. Only. It's revolutionary what's happening here. And none of us can take credit for it. That's what's so cool. Because the Lord is leading it along. Can you be encouraged by that without thinking that we're just patting ourselves on the back? Because we all know when you're an elite fighting team, you have more battles to fight. You have more places to conquer. You have more territory to take for the kingdom. So there's no resting on your laurels. There's no sitting back and going, yeah, we've made it. We've got it. No. all elite fighting forces improve. New weapons, new strategies, new ways of conducting yourself. New excellence. They keep going from glory to glory. They keep getting better prepared, better trained, letting the rust fall off, rough edges get honed down. So we're not stopping to rest on our laurels. We're stopping to thank the Lord. Just pausing to give Him thanks in a special way for what He's done, what He's doing. We were once described, well, several times actually, as a well-oiled machine. Now, I know some machines in the body of Christ that are moving, but they missed out on the oil. And so they crank to a halt at some point. Who of us doesn't know of some place that was just whew, and numbers and everything else, and then it fell apart or it dwindled? Something was missing. The oil. Unless we have fresh oil, the machine eventually comes to a halt because man gets involved. Religion gets involved. Service. We have to have a service in a certain way. We have to do worship in a certain way. Worship lasts a certain amount of time. You know all the rules and regulations, and it starts to become a box where God is supposed to say, oh, I like that, and show up. So many churches are saying, let's break out the walls. And they have that view that everyone's welcome. We're going to do it a different way. We're going to go out into the community and so on. And it might start out well, but somehow it fades and the walls come back in. So often. Have you seen that? It's not a criticism as much as an observation. I don't want that to happen here ever. Pastor Mary Pat doesn't want that to ever happen here. That's why we take dreams and visions and words and all those things seriously, because they're the fresh oil that's being poured on the machine, so to speak, so that we don't crank to a halt, or we don't go the wrong direction or crash. We need the fresh oil. We need the new wine. And we have to have the new wineskins to receive it. Who of us have not felt unloved in a very loving environment? Well, he doesn't like me as much as he likes me. And he spoke to them, but he didn't speak to me when we were standing. And I'm unloved. I'm alone. Someone will bring something up about that to me. I can name at least 10 people I can send them to and they can get loved on. But the problem is they don't often volunteer themselves. They have to be sent to be loved. Well, I know Jesus loves me. He's in each one of these people. Each of us have some love of Jesus to dish out. Because if it's just our love, it doesn't go very far. But because He's inside of us, we can dish it out. We can give like Thanksgiving helpings to people. There's no limit. No limit. And we take some risks. We do. Because we trust. We don't set up a whole set of rules when you go on a mission trip and say, follow these. It'll be a good mission trip for you. We basically say, girls' tents, they're off limits for guys. Ooh, boy, that's a tough one. Guys' tents, off limits for girls. When the girls are using the shower area, no guys. When the guys are using the shower area, no girls. And there might be a few little things on top of that, but I mean, so people come on the mission trip and go, oh, that's just like home. You know? But we could come up with the rules to try to keep the singles away from one another. But we think, you know, why not point at Jesus and everybody go for him? That's what the mission's about. I have two training weekends, and it's mostly about Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget to train. Simply because we trust him inside of a person at work is far better than a list of rules in a manual that we pass out to each one that goes on the mission trip. But that's a risk. Someone might not get the memo from Holy Spirit. Well, then we have the older teaching the younger, those that have gone through the whole process many times. They're leading by example and teaching the younger. The marriages, the young marriages in here, leading by example. Are they perfect? Of course not. But how did they get together? Most of them give testimony that the Lord had something to do with it. Sometimes bringing someone from Iowa or Arizona. Or in my case, I came from Michigan. Pastor Mary Pat came from Illinois, and we met in Ohio. How does he do that? Some people went to the same school together. Some people came clear across the country. God can get that done. This has nothing to do with what I have here. Okay, maybe I should get to this. It might be good. Might put a watch out here just. So, my thought came to me, well, it has in this season. Iron sharpening iron, but we have to be close enough to be sharpened. Some of you have, okay, sharpened me. Used to call it a cat on a screen door when we had the Bible study in our house. People would, we'd open the door and there'd be somebody on the screen door with their claws waiting to be taught, waiting to be challenged, waiting to go on a mission trip. And it was still a month away, but they're hanging on the screen door. That's a good thing. You see, hunger for the things of the Lord helps solve so much for your leaders. Perseverance that you get from Holy Spirit solves so much for your leaders. Willing to go through a wall if you have to. Jump over it. If he gives you that strategy, go around it. If he gives you that strategy, dig under it. If he gives you that strategy, but when you face a wall, you have several strategies. And you just say, Lord, which one this time? Because he's creative. Sometimes you'll dig under. Sometimes you'll blow dynamite under there and blow under. Other times you'll, this isn't a wall. I can go around this wall. What's the? Sometimes, you know, you jump over the top, dive over the top, springboard over the top, trampoline right over the top of the wall. Other times he says, just go right through that wall. Okay? Bam! And you end up on the other side. See, the secret is the strategy of listening to the Holy Spirit. I refuse to be limited by this. I refuse to be limited by this. Because it usually can only come up with one strategy. But if you ask Holy Spirit, there's at least four or five to choose from. Then you have to say, help me choose the right one. So you get onto the trampoline ready to jump over. And you take the first bounce and he goes, stop. This time, you're going under. And you're digging. You know, so you start. But see, you're in motion. You get up on the trampoline, it's not the one. That's okay. He's not shook up. He'll lead you. You're just, while you're on the trampoline, listening for the voice. My sheep hear my... My sheep hear my... Simple. So you have to be close enough to be sharpened. And so we have small groups sharpening people within a rather small group. But I know that I can just step up to Phil right now during the message and we could sharpen one another. He can speak up from his pew and say something that might help the message and I don't take it personally. Because we're family. We're around the table, the banqueting table together, you see. Some of you, at times, slide your chair back, though. Come on. The banquet is there. You're told the banquet's there, and you slide your chair back. You might even go into a little corner by yourself. And you see all the people banqueting, and you're like, you're sure having fun. A lot of joy over there. That makes me mad. How can they have joy without me at the table? And then somebody from the table comes over and says, don't you want to come eat with us? No, you're having too much joy without me. Okay, well, we're going to invite you to the table so you can have a little bit more. Not sure I want that. The best scenario is to get all the team members working together, right? As we've said many times. And that takes kind of a covenant. Some of you are still deciding whether you really want to be a covenant person in this. That's fine. There's no force, no lording over. You can take as much time as Holy Spirit gives you. But if he says connect, stay connected, be a part, don't be a project. Be a participant. And go after that with your whole heart and be willing to make a whole bunch of mistakes. Because you will. If I have, you will. If you have, I will. But mistakes in this place are celebrated. I tried. I gave it a shot. I gave a prophetic word to someone and they had no idea what I was talking about. All right. You gave it a shot. And you don't know, you know, after they leave you down the road, they go, what was I thinking? Of course that means something to me. Where is that person? So sometimes your mistakes aren't mistakes. You just haven't seen the whole picture yet. I know, I feel the same way. Then Jonathan, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Does he just save by few? No. He's not limited either way. He can raise an army of thousands and save, or he can use a small elite team and save. There's no exclusivity to either course of action. We happen to be a small group, a small team. It's encouraging to us that he uses small groups to save, to help, to love, as will happen this week, Thursday, Saturday. There's always something on the horizon of where this small team is going to do extraordinary exploits. maybe you aren't recognizing how extraordinary they are. You know, if one person came in here for gift of Christmas and their life was changed, it could mean generations across the earth are changed. In the newspapers and on the internet this week, I don't know, there was something about, you know, we used to think there were 7 degrees between people, you know, that you actually know Arnold Schwarzenegger by 7 people. You're 7 people away from knowing him. Well, then they reduced it to 6. Now it's down to something like 4.5. Now, wait a minute. We just turned over 7 billion people on the earth. I don't know if you know that, but we just went over that level. So no longer 6 billion, 7 billion people, and yet we're closer by relationship. You think the Lord might be doing something? I'm only 4.5 people away from knowing Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's always wanted to look like me. So, he's going to benefit when I show up in his presence and say, hey, I know you from, you know, George who knew Helen who knew, you know, Teresa who knew Peter. And he says, that's right! Well, he wouldn't say it that way. How does he say it? Oh, I don't know. That's right. Not very good at that. Anyway, we're getting closer. Why is that? Facebook. Twitter and Facebook get the credit that only God deserves. I think he is the positive motivating influence behind some of these things if we use them the right way. Incredible that we're getting closer. I think he's trying to say something to us. Don't be afraid of getting closer. Don't be afraid of, you know, drawing into one another spiritually and letting some of you sharpen the other person. Well, I don't have really much to give to them. Again, you are not putting your slip in the drawing. You have more to offer because of Holy Spirit inside of you than you realize. It will always be the case. It will always be the case. So step out. Step out, step out, step out. And let other people encourage you to step out when you're not stepping out. Because you could change everything. One little nugget of revelation could change something for an entire generation. So one person comes in for a gift of Christmas. But there's going to be a few more here than that. Do you understand the impact of this area? Well, I don't see it. People are still sinning. You know, they will be until Jesus comes. That's not it. It's what territory that we take from the enemy that allows heaven to come to earth in people's lives, and then that goes throughout the generations. It might be incognito. You might not even see that much change. If you're waiting for, you know, like a billion people to come into this building, and that will mean that there's revival, you're missing it. Israel is still a small nation surrounded by enemies. After all this time and all the prophecies and all the wonderful things that God spoke into them, they are still a very small nation among enemies. And it will continue to be that way. And they had all kinds of people flood in, but from persecution, over the last 50, 60, 70 years. And yet they're still a very small nation. And even the United States waffles on whether they support them or not. And yet, who is the one taking care of them? Who is the one that will bring them ultimate victory? The one they reject. Incredible. They reject their Savior at this moment. And yet he's going to come in and rescue them anyway. Wow, what's that for you? This doesn't have anything to do with this one. I'm telling you. Okay, we better go to the presentation here. Since we're a small elite group, there's one that recently in May of 2011. Oh, I like that. I knew we could get to the throne room today. There was a small group, elite group of fighters, of warriors that in May took out Osama bin Laden in a fortified compound. Obviously, their training and their desire to succeed in their mission on a natural level brought success that will change many things across the earth for generations because of one mission. One mission and an elite group of trained people doing that mission. You see, the Lord does that in the natural even. He fights even people in the natural. Think of what he's doing in the spiritual. We have to tune into Holy Spirit in order to even enjoy it. Because we look around and we say, gee, you know, this person's having trouble and that one's, oh, and this one, oh, this one's strong and that one, oh, oh, ooh, oh. But over the years, as the years go by, territory and nations is being taken. People's lives are being totally brought to joy in many cases. Comfort is brought. Love is splashed on all kinds of people. Neighborhoods are being affected in Canton. Nursing homes. Heartland. Jackson High School. Mount Union, Malone, Stark State. You're starting to see what he's doing? Sending us in as little elite forces into these places. But if we don't see that it's all part of a strategy of his, a strategy for victory, and he's using us. That's awesome. When we went downtown Canton and we're singing down there worship songs next to the bar, that's a blast. People walking by, they don't know whether to tap their foot, stop, or keep on going because it's, you know, it's not really what, I don't want to get connected with that. But it does have some life to it. The struggle. You know, you walk by a bar, there isn't much struggle as an unsaved person. Not that much. But you walk by a bunch of people singing worship, and there's a struggle inside. You can see it as they walk by. They want to tell you something. Hey, do you know this song? I'll sing it if you know it. Why do they do that? Something inside is making them add, you know, they're ill at ease. It's because we're impacting the atmosphere in the area. They walk through that atmosphere, and there's a bunch of people drawing pictures in a tent, and then they got a worship group across. It seems like such a weak thing. But so did one stone in a sling. Such a weak thing. So did a torch in a jar and a shofar. I only have two hands and this is the weapons that I choose? And then you break the jar. You can't even break it over somebody's head. So they see the torch. Oh. 300 against untold thousands, and you're running like a banshee down a hill toward their tents, yelling, "The battle is the Lord's and Gideon's." You're kind of hoping it's mainly the Lord. Because the last time I saw Gideon, he was And the guy, Gideon, needed like three signs, not just one. Do you realize that the angel of the Lord made fire come out of a rock and burned up his sacrifice? And that's when he knew it was the angel of the Lord? I don't know if you're the angel of the Lord. Can you give me a sign? Like he hangs out with people that talk that way all the time. So he has fire come out of a rock and burn up his sacrifice. Well, I guess it's the angel of the Lord. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. He needed the fleece. If the dew is on the... and the dew is over here... And I put that out there... How did that go again? Okay, if the dew... And it was on the ground, but it wasn't on the rag... I guess it's the Lord. He needed a lot of encouragement. And God did it. That's the crazy part. Look, I'm going to get somebody else. You're slowing the process down here, Gideon. No. Goes ahead and uses him. Give me a sign. He uses the weak to confound the strong, the foolish, to show the world they don't have any wisdom. I qualify. You qualify. And we're taking nations and neighborhoods and gift of Christmas and outreach to Heartland and on and on and on. But you need to see. You're not going to see with these eyes necessarily. The results. It's going to be spiritually caught. One life changed in Stark County can affect generations. So if we're changing more than one life, if we're seeing more than one life come closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, Stark County can be wiped out in a quick fashion. Can a nation be saved in a day? You know how that happens? Someone believing that one person can be saved. Because it's not addition that people are being saved. It's multiplication. And it can happen quickly. All the barriers can fall quickly. I told you about Pastor Ted, Uncle Ted. My uncle that we walked into the room and within, in his house, I hadn't been there for years, and within a half hour he's crying, receiving the Lord and his wife on her knees. Well, he just passed away this week. Guess where he is? But he has 9 children that had children, and some of those children had children. And Aunt Cleta is still there to testify of what happened with him and her. Do you think some of those children are going to be affected? Even if nothing comes out of her mouth, the atmosphere in their family is different because the patriarch bent his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's different in my heritage now because of that. See, every person that comes to Christ in your household, it multiplies. There's no way you can count it. Because they're going to tell someone else who's going to tell 5 more people, 10, 15, and those people are going to tell, and it goes on and on and on. That's how a nation can be taken in a day. If all of us led one person to Christ in Stark County in one day, it could multiply so quickly within a week that the entire United States could be saved. It's that powerful. Okay. Can I see some of the... elite force. This is going a bit different than the way I thought it would, but it's okay. Oh, yeah. Come on now. There we are. That's you. On time, on target, never quit. Woo. We have another one of those? I'm getting inspired. If you could just run some of the pictures while we're talking here. This is us, you see. Elite force in the spirit to take care of business. We can take out strategic targets in the spirit that other groups cannot. It's okay. You know, they have their ministry. They're going to reach people. They're going to do certain things. But we've been called to the deepest and darkest places, to the most difficult zones. In times of war or uncertainty, there is a special breed of warrior ready to answer our nation's call. A common man with uncommon desire to succeed, forged by adversity, he stands alongside America's finest special operations forces to serve his country, the American people, and protect their way of life. I am that man. Parallels. Missions. Special operations. Navy SEALs are called on to perform missions of strategic importance to the United States, including the following. Direct action, neutralize enemy forces. Special reconnaissance, observe and report. Counterterrorism, eliminating threats. Foreign internal defense, training allies. Obviously, in this time where they're being used strategically across the earth, we don't know about all their operations. The one with Osama bin Laden was news. But there have been many operations that have either helped the United States as a nation, prevented things from happening to us as a nation, that we'll never know about. That's the idea of it. So, you know, we're an army that may not even be known. It's possible. In Stark County, because we do so many things covertly. We do so many things under the radar. We don't do things to splash ourselves in the paper. We do things, this, in a sense, to splash ourselves across the headlines of heaven, just because he's inside of us and it brings him glory. We don't always have to be in the newspaper. If we end up there, fine, but we're not going to let everyone know what we're doing in every area. They won't understand. That's the nature of being a small elite fighting team that can have new members. By the way, you can sign up for the Navy SEALs. There's requirements, training, becoming a Navy SEAL, it says here. You can find out about their training program. They give a physical training guide right on the internet. You might have what it takes in the physical. But here, it's the same way. We have Frontline Training Center. And it's like some people they kind of keep saying the same things over and over again. Guess what? These guys have three phases. You have to make it through phase one, and it's mainly the same things over and over again. They just increase it a little bit each time. But they do the same exercises. They show them on the internet if you want to check that all out. They're carrying things. They're doing the same stuff. They just increase it every week. That much more, that much more, that much more. Well, I've heard that in Frontline Training Center before. Guess what? You'll hear it many, many times the rest of your life. Why are there four Gospels? Why does Jesus tell us over and over and over again the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing? Well, he did call us sheep. You know? Not the sharpest tool in the... Anyway, so we need to hear these things over and over again. We need to be challenged over and over again in the same areas and then add to it a little bit. Add to it a little bit. Because that's what trains us. That's what keeps us sharp. That's what we can remind one another about. Some of you have come in here and you've only been here like a year or less, and yet you're talking like Pastor Mary Pat. This is amazing. Some have been here a little bit longer, and you're starting to look like Pastor Mary Pat. It's absolutely incredible. But, you know, they're kind of in the news, but they're not in the news. Sure, you know, it's great that we hear about some of their operations, but you're never going to hear about some of the ones that are the most strategic. And that's the same way it is in the Spirit. So if you've come, you know, obviously you haven't come to Frontline to be known. We've had people be asked to be part of ministries where they could have been known. And they faced that. Should I go there? People would know me. I'd have a big youth group. I'd have. But then suddenly the Spirit would speak to them. No, I'm supposed to stay right where I'm at. I don't even have a leadership position. Go figure. They're offering me a leadership position. But I'm not supposed to take it. There are quite a few people in here that have that testimony. Why? Because that's the very thing that needs to happen inside of us. That we're humbled before we're exalted. You see, if someone sees some qualities in you and they exalt you too quickly, that's difficult. That's a difficult situation to deal with because this grows. I'm really good. I'm doing so much for God. My name is Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, I'm eating grass. I suddenly have an appetite for grass. 7 years of grass. Because his head grew so big, he was telling God everything that he had done. That often happens with people in the body of Christ. But many people here have the testimony, I was taken down a peg. I had this opportunity to be in charge of this and that and the other. And oh man, they were going to give me the world. And then... I decided, instead, to stay with Frontline. And be a nothing and be a nobody. And be on the cleanup list. Drive the bus. Where is this going? How's this ever going to work? Let me encourage you, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. Because he exalts the humble, man exalts those that have a few talents. Now, we often allow people just to come up and play on the worship team. You know, come up, bang on the drums, do a little here, do a little there. But to be really a part of the worship team as an ongoing type of thing, you have to have a heart for Jesus. You do. You have to have a heart to be in relationship with others. We've had people come here with huge talents, and they were never on the worship team. Do we try to keep them off? No. But they couldn't meet the relationship requirements, which are, you have to like us. No. you have to be willing to put up with us, grow with us, join with us, covenant with us in some way, shape, or form, not just come in to show off your talents. That's a safety net for you. It's not easy to do when someone can go all over the keyboard plus play drums and the guitar at the same time. But it helps you because you don't want a roadblock between you and God in worship. Backs against the wall, God comes in, hailstones, sun standing still, chariot wheels fall off, red seas open, Egyptians drown, food falls from heaven or is delivered by birds or doesn't run out, enemies kill themselves, walls fall down, rams, horns, and pebbles become anointed weapons. To defeat 20, 300 defeat tens of thousands. Hello. We're talking about the Creator God here, Elohim, the All-Sufficient One, Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, the Everlasting God, the God of Eternity, the God of the Universe, the God of Ancient Days, El Olam, the Lord of Hosts, the Lord of Powers, Jehovah Sabbath, God Most High, El Elyon, Elyon, God who sees, El Roy, the God who will provide, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle, Jehovah Nissi, praise his glorious name, which is above all other names. This was in an email I sent out years ago when we were trying to prepare for a mission trip. And another one that I sent out about the battle, I couldn't find that one. But it was about all that God was doing in us to enter into the battle and how he was going to win it. It's not up to us. It's up to him to win the battle. God can do more through the loyal, the committed, the faithful than he can do with a multitude. Ever notice how Jesus spoke to the multitude but hung out with the 12 and then hung out with the 3? What was he doing? Is he nuts? You're a new movement? They've squashed all the other ones. You know, there were other movements besides Jesus. And they squashed them, they killed their leaders, and it was ended. But with Jesus, he had a training program like nobody else's. He did it just like he did with Gideon. He took 32,000, took them down to 10,000, took them to a river, and said, okay, watch how they drink water. You ever thought about that a little bit? 10,000 guys drinking water, and it's going to determine whether they're going to be part of Gideon's army. So most of them get down on their hands and knees and they're like, this huge body of water. He said, get rid of those guys. Take those 300 that took the water and brought it to their mouth. Thought about that? They were the ones that brought the water to their mouth. Peter says, tell me to come out there and I'll walk on water. I'll come to you. He didn't say he'd walk on water. I'll come to you, Lord, if you'll just tell me to come. They took the water, they brought it up to their mouth. That's the 300 I want. Ever thought about those qualifications? Start bringing the water to your mouth. Don't wait for the, you know, don't try to suck in the whole thing at once. Just bring a handful to your mouth. Take the action. Take the extra action. Now you would think, well, maybe the ones on their hands and knees, they're humble. In the, you know. He wants people to stand up in him and bring the water to them. Just like we said, pull the future into now. He wants us to partner with him. And you say, well, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to bring the future into now. That's too out there. That's like theory to me. You've already done it many times. We went through that. You just need to identify where you've done it and do it again and do it again and do it again. And it's the most simple things that you've brought the future into now. You cooperated with the Lord in salvation. You know that, right? You brought the future in now. Because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You were way ahead of the future. You bent your knee ahead of time before you even see him in the physical. Most people will have to bend their knee when they see him in the physical. You're seeing him in the spiritual and bending your knee now. You've already released yourself to him without seeing him. He loves that. He loves that. He can't stay away from that. So pull more water up to your mouth as you're doing. He loves it. You're intentional. You're intentional. You're bringing it up. Drawing up the water within him. God can do more through the loyal, the committed, the faithful than he can do with a multitude. If the Lord's strategy is allowed to be the winning strategy. You see, what often happens is a believer will say, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be loyal to the Lord. And then they somehow get mixed up with doing rote things. To be those things, we have to draw in together as a team and go. Which we're doing. And the support troops, just like in David's army, the support troops, so to speak, the ones praying, those providing the finances, those that don't actually go to Ghana or Mozambique or whatever, he says they receive the same reward. You know that, right? Those that guard the supplies back here in Ohio are just as important as those that go. Guard the treasure back here. Guard the families back here. Just as much part of the elite force. They have to protect their supply lines or they're done. They went from Afghanistan into Pakistan to take out Osama bin Laden. They lost a helicopter. They burned it on the spot so that not much of their operation would be known that was attached to that helicopter. But they had to go back. They had to get out of there. They were concerned about Pakistani jets finding out about this and just strafing the whole area. And then they would find out many secrets of the Navy SEALs. We can't let that happen. So the idea was to get in within 30 minutes and get out. Think of that. You have to collect all that information, all the computers, all that stuff, take it with you. Take him out in 30 minutes and get back. Because you can't let anything discovered, and you can't let the supply lines be cut off. So you think front line's difficult to hang with and do the things we do? We give you more than a half hour. Why, we've been here 3 hours now. Elite force, Delta force, an army of one. It works in the natural as it does in the physical. But if there are those troops that are kind of like wandering away, or they just aren't focused on what this is all about, this isn't about us. Yes, we take time to do inner healing. We take time to spend time and encourage each other. But the missions are still out there. The territory is still out there to be won. Those people this week that will be impacting are the goal of the Lord's heart. We've already been won by him, territory taken. Let's, you know, when we have opportunities like this, set aside our own personal agendas, set aside our own personal preferences, set aside our own unsubmitted opinions, and say, for the name of the mission that the Lord Jesus Christ is the commander of, I'm going to join ranks with everyone this week. In particular, and go after his treasure, go after his mission, which is people. It's awesome when you do that and you sign on to that. And you're not, you know, grousing to the leaders. Well,
They didn't get me my coffee. And yet they want me to serve. You know,
I'm glad that that never happens here. No grousing. No complaining. Behind the scenes, during the scenes, in the scenes, outside the scenes. Bill and Mary Pat are just pleasant, wonderful people that you just... They're always doing what I love. I just love them. I can't think of one thing against them ever. Just wonderful people. You know, when I expect that there's going to be temptations to question, you know, what's happening. Well, maybe we should do it this way. How come they did it that way? Well, you can throw, there are times to throw in your input. Really are. We welcome your input. But probably not Thursday. While it's happening. Probably not Saturday while it's happening. You know, the planning and the way it's going to be done and how it goes and all that is already in motion. It's time to jump in, become a part. Here I am. Show me what to do. If you don't know what to do, there's always something to do. Ask somebody that looks like they're running around in charge. And I'm telling you, it's been awesome what's happened the last 6 years. Now this is seventh. This is the seventh this year. Awesome. We actually had people run down the aisles. Down the aisle to receive Jesus. We've had someone that came to take some people shopping receive the Lord. Incredible. What God is doing through you. I love it. And I'm going to love it this week. I just know I am. So many bodies in the body of Christ have a mission statement. And they think because they post it on the wall, because it's in their bulletin, because they have a special handout, that everybody's in with that mission statement. Honestly, we have a slogan, but we don't have a mission statement. Really. I mean, there might be one in our paperwork years ago that we had to turn in to the government. Our mission statement basically is that we're a body on a kingdom mission. We care more about the mission than the mission statement. When we go overseas and say we're on a mission trip, it's really a mission. It's all part of the same mission. It's just another branch of it. We're continuing on the same path of building people up and taking them out there where other people are that they can be won to Christ and built up. It's an ongoing river kind of process that just keeps on flowing. I don't want that to ever stop. If I have anything to say about it, it can't stop. We have to keep going out the doors. We have to keep impacting people. Even if they never show up here, it can change their generations. It's not about having a bigger congregation. It's about having an effective fighting group. Effective soldiers. So, of course, you know, our school is a very big part of that. Of course, meeting with Pastor Bill in one of his offices is a big part of that. Well, he never asks me. You know what? I get a lot of requests. You ought to think about asking me rather than me asking you. Sometimes I do ask people. But oftentimes I'm asked. Got a list. People asking. And they re-ask. I have a whole bunch of offices. You can do it. And, you know, our house used to be a little bit more active. And I'm not just talking about Carson. That used to be kind of a hub. You know, you're not putting enough pressure on us to have a relationship with you. Because it's still open. It's still a place that you can come and you can share your heart. Don't think it's some kind of, you know, place that nobody goes because it's the pastor. It just takes a request. And you can, you know, hear from my heart, hear from Pastor Mary's Pat's heart, other than up here at the front. That's not close enough. That's not enough closeness for iron sharpening iron. Sometimes we have to do it in the golf cart. But remember, I look at it as one revelation that happens between us on the putting green could change everything. One strum of a guitar chord or one song sung in the right environment can change everything. It doesn't have to be me all the time pressing with my strategy to change something. Because if he can use a torch and a horn to win a battle where they were massively outnumbered, and he didn't bother to try to match up. From my reading of it, it could be wrong, so don't. 135,000 troops against 32,000. It was already an outnumbering. God took it down to 10,000, took it down to 300, just basically as a lesson. And the more he took it down, the more Gideon grew up in courage. Now, does that make any sense? See, he was relying on the Lord's confidence. Because when you're down to 300 against 135,000, what difference does it make? You know, it's either the Lord or you're just, you know, kind of done for. So his confidence grew in the Lord as his numbers decreased. You know, my confidence actually increases when you're more effective as a small elite army than if, you know, suddenly 200 or 300 people just started showing up here. Because he can do far more with those that are trained and desiring to be effective and hungry and after his mission than he could ever do with the multitude. And he proved it when he preached. He'd preach to the multitude. He'd give the real story, so to speak, to those that had ears to hear. They didn't get the explanations of the parables. The disciples did. Because they were sitting there going, I don't get it. What was this one about? Can you give me a little help here? I didn't get that one. And he didn't go, what are you, stupid? He said, let me explain it to you. And he explained it to him. It was very simple, obviously, to him, what it meant. And to us today, we go, oh, gee, how could they have trouble with that? You have the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you. Do you know you would not be able to understand these things with your mind? That's what they had to work with, their mind. And they couldn't understand it, even though they hung out with Jesus. He would feed 5,000, they'd be worried about lunch right after that. Okay, because they were only operating with this. And they had a little bit of heart for him. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside. That's why you understand this stuff. You can't pat yourself on the back and say, hey, let me explain that to you. I know. Holy Spirit helped you know. So there's only one strategy that's the winning strategy, and it's the Lord's strategy. His strategy is that he wins the battle because he never leaves you or forsakes you. I was going to have us go through as a group. There's not time. At Moses, Gideon, David, Joshua, Jonathan, and see what parallels there were with all of these. And have you speak those out to me. But they would be a good study for you to take a look at some of those and many others. In the faith chapter, a few verses before and a few verses after, and take that and why does the Lord not point out some of these people were real screw-ups? In the faith chapter, they all have faith. Sarah had faith, even though she laughed. Abraham had faith, even though he tried to come up with his own plan for starting the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. They screwed up, they screwed up, they screwed up. Doesn't mention their screw-ups in the faith chapter. Think what that means for you and me. We can go out with our whole heart and just say, Lord, you do it. You win the battle. You're using me. Win the battle anyway. I don't ever feel prepared, even though I've been through 3 courses in FTC. I don't care. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to throw myself into the battle with nothing but a pot, a torch, and a horn. And you're going to win it. He might ask us to go around Canton for 6 days. Then on the 7th day, tell us to shout. Go around 7 times and shout. And Canton might just fall down and worship the Lord. He's not going to destroy Canton with fire. He's going to bring the fire to Canton now in this new covenant. Isn't that great? Isn't it nice that you don't have to take a weapon out, a real weapon, and go into battle like David did? He was considered a warrior, so much so that he couldn't do certain things because he had actually killed men. But he wouldn't kill Saul. You don't have to do that. You just do it in the Spirit. And you will win more doing it in the Spirit in this new covenant than you would if you actually had a sword in your hand and took out that relative that won't receive Jesus. Or at least scare him. But you have to see yourself as that. He saw Gideon as a valiant warrior, or whatever translation you use. How could he see Gideon that way? Incredible. But he sees us the same way, and he trained Gideon into it, didn't he? And he was kind to him. He knew he was shaken back there, so he gave him some signs, did some things for him. Pretty incredible, pretty nice to him. Then he was able to just carve the army down. And no problem. Gideon's like, oh, what's the big deal? The other sign, by the way, was a prophetic dream that the enemy had. They were talking about it in their tent, and he heard it. He overheard it. And he went, the battle is ours. Came back to the men, the battle is ours. Because in the prophetic dream, he comes in and squashes the whole camp, you know, squashes the tent. He comes back and goes, it's done. I've heard a word of the Lord. 300 people running down a hill is going to do it. We're going to show them where we are with the torches. Here we are. Just like Jonathan did. Jumps out from hiding in the caves. Here we are. See, we're going to do that with Stark County. Here we are. You're going to see things in 2012 that if you think this has been difficult so far, your head's going to spin. You might get persecuted. But see, you're banding together. We're as one. We're as one. If one of us gets persecuted, gets hurt, all of us hurt. All of us run to the rescue, run to the encouragement of that person. That's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ, at large. And I hope we do that with other people outside this, you know, group, that we encourage others in other places and other ministries, and we draw and work with them as well. More of that in 2012. We don't think we're it. We think we're part of it. But we are a significant part of it because we are a well-oiled machine because we ask Holy Spirit to come in and lead us. we are an elite fighting force because we say, Holy Spirit, where's the battle? We want to be there, and we want your wisdom. We want your power to do it. We may not even have the faith. Just like those heroes in the chapter of faith, Hebrews 11. Many of them didn't have the faith. And he gave it to them anyway. And he gave them the victory anyway. And he doesn't even mention that they flopped, floundered, and failed. Didn't he mention it? That's in your future. He's not going to mention it. Your failings. He's going to look at you and say, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You are amazing. Yeah, but I struggled with this, 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 and this, and this. It's covered by the blood. Well, you took communion. That means you agree with the blood. Covers it all. Covers it all. You believe in Jesus' sacrifice. Broken body. Covers it. Yeah, but I'm fearful.
So is Gideon.
He tells Joshua in Joshua 1, he knew what he was facing in the book of Joshua. Well, actually, you know, as they were taking the land, that's the account of it. But he says, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage. Be strong and courageous. He repeats it several times. Does that tell you what he was going to face? He said, your enemies will, you know, you'll win. That's what he basically says in Joshua 1. But he lost at the battle of Ai. He lost. Wait a minute. You said I'd win. Well, I didn't say you'd win the first time. You might win the second time, but you still win. You might have to go back and beat at the wall of the enemy more than once. Go back where you received malaria and kick the enemy in the teeth the next time you're there. Go back where, you know, you were sick at some place, didn't understand it, and yet you get up and you say, Lord, I'm still in the battle. I'm still yours. Take me. I feel so weak. I feel so overwhelmed. Take me. Use me. Move in me. Work in me. Change me. Turn me upside down. Fill me with courage that I don't have. And he'll do it. He doesn't expect you to always have courage in the first step. You may not get it until the third or fourth or fifth. Or maybe you have it in the first step and you start to lose it. He's always there. Pick you right up out of the water. Embrace you. Say, man, you did more than most people I know. We're going to teach you more things about faith. No problem. And by the way, when I write that chapter, that new faith chapter, the chapter after Revelation, the end of Revelation, you know, if you write an add-on to the book of Revelation, it's not a good thing. But if he does, it's okay. And he's going to write a faith chapter, and he's going to put your name in it. And he's going to say what exploits you've done as a member of an elite warrior fighting team. He's going to tell you. He's going to put your name down and put what your exploits were. And he's going to forget all about the failings. They're not going to be listed. That should be encouraging. I should see a few more smiles on faces. It's always fun when I say that because then people try to smile. Okay, so do a little study for me. Hebrews chapter 10, 32 through chapter 12, verse 2. Judges 6 through 8. Gideon versus the Midianites. Joshua 1, where he's commissioned. And he says, I will be with you. It's kind of important. Joshua 6. Joshua at Jericho. Verse 27 was all about the presence of the Lord being there. 1 Samuel 17, David versus Goliath. First Samuel 14, 1 through 23, Jonathan versus the Philistines. 1 Samuel 14, 1 through 23. And Moses in Exodus 14, where the Red Sea opens. See, these aren't supposed to be accounts only for these people and for storytelling down in that department of kingdom land down there. These are supposed to be what we refer to when we're facing something. Like the enemy is on our heels. God has brought us into the desert. Every last person's complaining. And Moses says, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord as he is facing water with the Egyptian army coming after him. He declared something that he had no idea how in the world that was ever going to take place. But the people were without faith. He spoke life and faith into it, and then God backed him up. He turns around, puts a stick into some water, and it opens up. See, he does that with your life. We have to expect it. We have to expect that these things are not just in here for our entertainment. They're in there for our encouragement. That life is supposed to go this way. Breakthroughs are supposed to happen. When they don't, we should be shocked. What is happening here? And then get upset. In a sense, in the right way, that the Lord's name needs to be raised up in this situation. Let's see how we can get it done. It looks like it's going the other way. The battle's going the other way. Ai is lost. What do we do? What do? We win it. We come back and win it. We still tear down, or we still defeat that city. On the sixth day, walking around Jericho, wanting to express myself. What is this all about? I don't understand, I don't, but I keep my mouth shut. Everybody else is. We're as one. We're going around this city as one. One trip a day. That was good enough. And the seventh day, oh, we get to do it seven times today. We have to get up extra early. This must be frontline ministries. We have to get up extra early to do this one. Seven times around today. Well, at least there's going to be some horns blaring at the end of it, but I still don't understand what this is about. I wish I could speak it out to those leaders in front there. And then the horns blast and the walls fall down. Then what do you got to say? You know, what do we have to say then? It had to be the Lord. The Lord backed up the fact that He's with us always and that He wins the battle and His strategy brings victory, whether it looks like it or not. His strategy brings ultimate victory. So you're going to die, but then you're going to be with Jesus. You can't lose. You're going to battle and lose some battles, but you're going to win the war. You can't lose. Who was David fighting for? The name of the Lord Most High. He didn't think that the name of the Lord should be dragged through the mud by some 9.5-foot big target. Thought it was ridiculous. You see, it was only one person. Everybody else on the planet was on a different page. So if there's like a small army in here that gets on the same page, it's better than David. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to believe what God had done in the past with the lion and the bear before he could, you know, have the kind of courage to go up against Goliath. He had to have the Spirit of God come on him because he didn't live inside of him. But we have all the advantages. And we should celebrate them. So, I guess what I'm saying is, if you've been battling alone, there's no reason to. Because there's all of us, and the Lord promises He'll fight your battle for you. So there's no reason to battle by yourself. So many of you are discovering that, and we'll get a call, or you'll talk to us here when we're here, or we'll go to one of my offices, or whatever it might be, or you'll get with someone else in here that's following the Lord, wanting Him, and so on. You'll spend some time with them, and your trial, your difficulty will come up. There'll be prayer. There'll be prayer after you're in the presence of that person. And suddenly, the battle is being won. The war is being won. It's the way it's supposed to be. So if you've backed off in any way from that, I'm encouraging you to go to the front line again. Because this is a big week where we have to grab onto things together, grab onto our weapons together, and go after the enemy. Because the enemy wants to hold every person that will come here this week. He'll want to defeat our strategies. He'll want to, you know, get us distracted so that those people are not having the opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus Christ or to feel His love or whatever purpose there is for this week in the Lord's heart. We want to be right in line with that. And it's not, you know, oh, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. It's more like, I'm yours. Show me, empower me, work in me. And He will. Amen? And every week after this week. And even in the harder battle of being with your relatives during the holidays. Sometimes it's in our own families that the most difficult battles are, of course. Because they're willing to tell us right off the top what they think, the way it should be. And that's where we can't let our hair down. You know, don't look at me when you... But don't let your hair down, you know, with your family. You have to be as sharp as a razor. You have to be as sharp as a sword with your family. I mean, you can, you know, be congenial and everything else, be who you are, but you have to think in the Spirit. How can I help my family members that are fearful, that don't trust God, that are struggling with various things in their life, and I know the solution is Jesus? How can I help them? How can I love them? And it might come from your supporting them, in a sense, by loving them rather than what comes out of your mouth. Are you good with that? Sure you are. Because you're an elite fighting team on the Lord's side, and He's going to win the battle. Do not think you're less than what you are. Don't let the enemy convince you you're some dull sword over in the corner that can't do anything. Because that's what the enemy tried to do with Gideon, and it took just a few short days, and he was a raging warrior for the Lord. A little time in the Lord's presence, and this guy was like running down the hill screaming to the top of his lungs, looking like an absolute idiot. And you could look that way. Aren't you glad? This will be so awesome to see you looking so foolish and trusting in a big God that can make you look wise in the end. Father, we thank You, Lord. We bless You. We're praying that in every way we would be willing to follow Your strategies. It's a willingness, Lord, more than even a something in us that you can use. It's more our willingness that you want to use. You've put us together. You've designed us all in different ways. You know exactly how you want us to fit in to the elite fighting team. You have the strategy. You took the 300 and sent them in three companies of 100. You made it even smaller. And yet the battle was yours. There was never any doubt. One bat of your eyelash and the enemy is defeated. One word spoken from you, one syllable, and the enemy goes down in flames. We thank you, God, that beyond our training, beyond our preparation, beyond our prayer, beyond our soaking, beyond anything inside of us that you could use, you win the battle. You love us to depend on you and partner with you all at the same time. Thank you, God, for our families. May there be, during this holiday season, an amazing winning of the battle, the tide turning, prodigals brought home to you. By more love inspired in us to splash on others. Father, for those folks coming in this week, Thursday and Saturday, God, we're a weird, peculiar group of people. Help us, Lord, to love them so much they won't even see how weird we are. Help us to step right in. We've seen it so many times with people in this room and those connected with Frontline, where the expression of joy, of love, of kindness, of serving some other person has turned the tide in their heart to recognize the Jesus in us and give him glory, maybe for the first time in their life. We're asking for that to happen this week, this season, whether it be at home or whether it be here with reaching out to people here or on the streets or overseas soon, Lord. In 2012, what will you do with this elite fighting force? Always willing to work with other fighting forces. Always willing to add to our numbers. But Father, we want to stay sharp. We want to stay close enough so that iron sharpens iron and we sharpen one another, so that we can defeat the enemy at every turn. Father, we stand against the enemy's attacks on this body. We say no more. We stand as one. And those that have come under his barrage, we say, we're coming after you. We're going to find where you're hiding. And we're going to use a strategic force to defeat you, to take you out. You are not going to have free rein to pick targets and go after them. We will come after you. We will defeat you. With the Lord's partnering with us. The battle is his, but we're his troops. The battle is his, but we have his heart. You will be defeated, enemy, so back off. We're coming after you with more than both barrels. We're coming after you in the name of the Lord. And one pebble can take you out when directed by the Lord. We believe it. We receive it. We honor you in it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing here in us and through us. Thank you, Lord. Keep coming. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep coming in wave after wave to take us from glory to glory. We need you. We admit it. We're too weak on our own, but we're strong in you. We admit it. We're strong in you. We admit it. We're willing in you. We admit it. We admit it. We rejoice in it. We celebrate it. We feel warmed by your presence, but we want to warm others with your presence and with the gospel. Help us be looking, having eternity stamped on our eyelids, on the inside, that we're always looking, what will last for eternity? People, 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 people are your treasure. Help us go after them with all your heart, Lord. We give you the praise. We honor you, Lord. We open ourselves to your training. We open ourselves to you knocking off the rough edges. We open ourselves to you chastising us for us to be better sons and daughters of the Most High. We're open. We're open, Lord. Come after us, Lord, and mold us into the troops you want us to be. We rejoice in you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening, and go beyond and do a little study on your own. Those are some powerful passages. Come back and tell us what you learned. We need your insights.